That there reference is made Isaiah 9, verse 8. Paul in his epistle to the Romans, at the very outset, states that the Lord Jesus has come of the seed of David to conquer to the flesh, but according to the spirit of holiness, his own spirit. Not the reference I give you to the Holy Spirit there. The Son of God. Chapter 9, where he recounts the privileges of his glory, he reaches the counting what is that he said. Of whom are concerning the flesh, Christ came, which over all, God bless him forever. In the epistle to the Philippians, where the apostle is given an exhortation to humility, not giving an exposition concerning the truth relative to the person of Christ. He's giving an exhortation, it's a hortatory passage. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. But he says, who being in the form of God, being eternally in the form of God, being unchangeably in the form of God, being prior to his incarnation and being subsequent to the incarnation, for therefore all the attributes of deity. So long to speak of him as found in the likeness of men. Because he was not a mere man, but the Son of God incarnate. Counsel. The deed was certain erroneous theories in the epistle to the Colossians. But there were those who not only denied the essential deity of the Lord Jesus, there were those who denied the reality of his humanity. In the list of heretical teachings, he spoke of as Docetism. But Docetic said he appeared as a man, but actually was not a man. He was a Theophilus, he said. He was just like those who appeared to Abraham and to others in Old Testament days. That was a theory, the false theory of the cosmic Gnostic heretics, who based it upon their false idea that matter is inherently evil. You see, matter is inherently evil. God could never have created matter. God could never have created the universe. And Christ could never have been possessed of true, you are a true human body. If matter is inherently evil, and the Lord Jesus possessed a true human body, then he included him as well. For what he was in God was a very dangerous error, very few, and not into another. So the apostle very definitely and emphatically teaches that the Lord Jesus in his death, he made reconciliation in the body of his flesh through death. And in order to emphasize the reality of the incarnation, he speaks of him in chapter 2 in words like these. kingdom, body, glorified in you. The Lord Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and will be forever. Yes, a true humanity, ever to be digested on it throughout all eternity. Even then, you will have delivered up the kingdom to God the Father. Even then also, even then at that time, the Son will be subject to the Father. Now when you come to consider the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ, the two natures that I'm thinking of, nature of the last teacher of faith, he was created by two events in Old Testament history. They took the ark into the country. They thought if they had the ark there, they would be certain of victory over the Philistines. The great king of Israel took everything to a person of Christ, because the subject, cause of conflict, power of glory to you. Who let us be God and present when we come to discuss matters concerning the person of Christ? Let the ark not be covered with the smoke of conflict, but with the smoke of that glory you said. For when conflict begins to leave, very often then in the altar, to maintain their position, to speak things in such a way that later they may wish they had never done. And then you need to adapt. We need to cross something. The other illustration that I want to speak on, use just for a moment, the man of Bethshemesh, they looked into the ark. They lifted the lid and looked in. They began to peer into the ark. Curiosity. Carnal curiosity. Curiosity that is bred born and bred, nurtured by the nature flesh. These men appear. And the late Mr. L.W.G. Alexander, many, many years ago, called when he was in his last days of modesty, Northern Scotland, there was a book on his table, which he had been reading, which I had read, containing a great deal of very, very useful teaching. But there was something in it in connection with Revelation 3 and 20. As I also wore a chain. The writer of that book made statements in it which were not according to the analogy of the faith. When I drew Mr. Alexander's attention to that sentence, he said, we all fear. We all have a tendency to fear. But that is fearing too much. So let there be a holy awe. sacred truth added into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ has a natural birth. His birth was perfectly normal. His conception was miraculous. Of the Holy Ghost in the womb of the Virgin Mary. Scripture makes that perfectly clear. But his birth was a perfectly normal birth. Now I read to you the statement, I do not know who is the author. Something that I took down many years ago. Christ came not in the majesty which he possessed. No troop of angels heard him about. Nature did not do him homage as God. The voice of the seven thunders were silent. The wings of the winds were collapsed and motionless. And the coals of fire were quenched. Darkness was not his pavilion. Lebanon did not tremble. God was adored and driven back. The lamps of the sky were not trimmed in honor to honor the night in which the man child was born into the world. It was not Jehovah allowing the heavens of coming down, but Jesus made of a woman. Cradled in a manger. It was, in short, his birth, not the Theophany. He might have appeared in the appalling majesty of Sinai, or as when the psalmist describes the robe, enrolled in cloud, storm and fire mist, guarded by a thick spray of burning coal. All of the inhabitants surprisingly sing of him, heralded by his pestilence. The everlasting mountains scattered, and the perpetual hills bowing before him. All of when he appears transfigured, his face as the sun, and his raiment as the light. The Lord didn't appear as a theophany. He was born in a natural way, born of a virgin. Need I give you a little upon the statement with regard to really the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus, which told the name of the host? If any of the well-known Hebrews, a decided modernist, with decided modernist meanings, as though the word Alma does not mean virgin, but a youthful spouse recently married, cites this passage, Isaiah 7:14, as proof, which seems like begging the question, but it would hardly be a sign for a young married woman to conceive and bear a son. Dr. Chekelis, a scholar of a piece equal reputation with Nathanael and his translator, denies this conclusion and refers to the fact that the Septuagint renders the word Alma by Pogmenos in this passage, which must have been a difficulty to them. And we can only understand Isaiah 7 in the light of its fulfillment in Matthew chapter 1. I think that's clear. That should be clear to every one of us. The Lord Jesus was born then of a virgin. And humanity was untainted by sin. Not only did he have a natural birth, he had a natural growth. He development for a free religious is an experience as in that of any other human being. Yet so that Jesus grew and increased in wisdom and stature, he increased so that he kept advancing. He grew, and the effective form of the world, which seemed to indicate that his growth was due to his own effort. From all this it seems clear that if Jesus came along the lines of ordinary human progress, instruction, study, and thought. In this connection, we need to remember, of course, the words of Isaiah chapter 5, chapter 15. There the Lord speaks of himself as a disciple, as a learner. He makes them my ears, warning my warning. He teaches me as a disciple. Here we come to the great mystery that is my identity. And quotes you the words of that, of the verse of that hymn, from the high mysteries of his day. An angel's grasp of sin, the power only, glorious thing, the Son can comprehend. Here a natural, not only a natural birth, but a natural growth, here a natural appearance. There is nothing about the law outwardly to indicate that it was different from everybody else. No one at the well recognized that he was the son of Abraham. Hast thou been a Jew? How is it that thou art not strength of me, dying of some marriage? Nothing of that which appears in some of the so-called pictures of Christ, as in the hero, have I said? Indeed, Isaiah 53 would suggest the opposite. There is no beauty in him that we should desire him. The human was a tender hand as a root out of a dry ground. Israel barren, Israel dry. Nothing there was lost. He was the flower of humanity. After evolution and each the tiniest being, now at last the power comes into being. On the contrary, Israel had reached its lowest stage in departure from God. It was utterly barren and wilderness. Dust of that barren ground had changed. Clouds to God's glory. The secret springs from sustenance to keep the leaf of that tree. There is natural human nature. The Lord Jesus did not come and take on just a human frame. Like the Shekinah came and took up its abode in the tabernacle. He had a human body. Their body has found prepared me. Not only is it accurate in his constitution, but sinless, or rather than accurate in his conception, it was sinless in his constitution. He was made in the likeness of the flesh of sin. How the Apostle God, the truth concerning the person of Christ in that verse. Yet his tongue is a likeness of flesh. Then the Gnostics would have said, yes, that's exactly what we believe. But he was only apparently a human being. A kind of humanity. The Lord put their bottom bedroom to the likeness of the precious thing. We go with the Jawbite and sinful flesh, but it's really not an attitude there. It's something similar to the body of sin in the Romans chapter 6. the Lord like the Lord of the Lord. And he said, here is the precious thing that you will be protected of sinful nature. Who could have been to hear better than the opposite? But the nature of our Lord Jesus Christ, human, yes, having the human, was unspotted, untainted, undefiled, and invulnerable to faith. We are given nature, human nature. Human nature. The word has been for my own living. My own living. This is horrible. Not only would he have a true human nature, but he has natural characteristics. Characteristics which are natural to men. He hungered after the 40 days of the wilderness, his holy hunger. John Paul believed he was feeling and passing away. That way he believed that there was sleep in the back of the boat. Not in dying he was out of his way. This is not enough that he can't tell. A rejection had been accomplished. He borrowed his head. He lit up his spirit. We are yet here experiencing human experience. It is the life of this protected from the Hebrew says that he was consecrated forevermore. It's the same word that's used in chapter 5. Being made perfect. Being made perfect. There was perfection of the rules. Physically, bodily, spiritually. You see the rules back. It's perfect. But there's a difference between the perfection of the rules when it's a plan. And that role was very fully developed. Now, the role was perfect from time to time. That role was very fully developed. Now, the role was perfect from time to time, from his birth on. But there is a perfection of moral and spiritual development. Suffering. Suffering, as the scripture speaks of it clearly, through privation and poverty. It is a part of dependence. He could say the rank, he could take the words of Psalm 36 upon his lips and say, I have trusted thee out of the wavering. He was the author and the finisher, not of our day per day. All these heroes of faith in Hebrews 11 failed in one way or another, at some time or another, but here was one who trod with an unceasing step to the path of faith from the beginning to the end. tanto potrebbe oggi da insegnare lo mondo. Da un esempio, veramente potrei fare a te. Come tu mai sarai voluto anche te. Ma di tutto il quale, da me quale che vedo, veniva la condita di essere con il corretto. The first verse of the psalm, quoted aloud. The last verse of the psalm, quoted aloud. And the middle verse is quoted in audibly. And it was yet given according to the custom in the synagogue to all, quoted the whole of that psalm. And he had it on the cross. And ever since, I've seen the same. When it comes to that verse, I saw Jesus took me out of the womb. He looked back to the time when as a baby, I was going to put him to death. Why he said to me, Jesus, not a lot of things they brought home. With that cold, it was possible for his hair to take the journey to Egypt. The journey which otherwise it never would have taken. As far as Western channels. And although remembering the tightness of his God and his power, there hanging upon the tree he said, thou art he that spake to when I was on my father's knees. Here is one who taught the path of faith. Here is one who walked the path of dependence. One who could say, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Here is a dependent man. Here is a son of man. Here is a man in whom God found perfect delight. One who got joy and glory to his God and to his power. Perfect by suffering not only of God, but the privation of poverty, suffering persecution at the hands of his enemies, and his people's rejection, weeping over Jerusalem, suffering from personal attacks of Satan. Yet if you know the temptations of Satan were, Hebrews 4 says to send his in all fights like a free ark, except by sin. Sin the heart, or without sin, then his sin will bring the temptation to Christ. Sin never can find any response to the purpose of the Lord. As I said before, you are vulnerable to sin. Sin was as impossible to death as it would be now. Sin was as impossible to him then as it is to God himself. The prince of this world cometh and have nothing in me. You the try to. Oh yes, Peter tells us, you the try to. Try not to see if there was any flaw in it. The try to display that there was no flaw in it. Tempted not to see if there could be a fall, but tempted to display that you are the one who is the master of his enemies. There was one to whom sin was the alien, the final alien. Here then is the one of whom we speak. He had not only natural character, the life of complete dependence upon his God. Let us justify instances of our Lord in prayer. Justify is the true gospel. You're the one who lives in daily communion with the Father. And yet never pray with his own. There is no need of the disciples with intent for said, our Father which art in heaven. He told them to pray, our Father which art in heaven, but he never associated himself with them in that way, not until things have been put away, a redemption has been accomplished, and he stood on the resurrection ground. Then he said, I attend unto my Father and your Father. My God and your God. Then you are resurrection ground. You thank the new one who has put sin away as the head of a new creation. He becomes. Through him we can say, our God and our Father, and the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. To the night, on the night when he was betrayed in his sight, in the day at the Council of Revelation, he said, in the midst of the congregation, in priestly character, he would give thanks to the Moroni and the children who now have given me. He had natural name. He's called a man approved of God. He's called God by his own preferred title, the Son of Man. Not only of the seed of David, according to the flesh, so he might become the heir to David's throne. Not only the seed of Abraham, that he might become the heir to the covenant God made with Abraham, the seed of the woman, because of which he's going to be the governor among the nations, from the limit of the ends of the earth. He's going to be the governor. Psalm 32 says, all the kingdoms of the world shall acknowledge him. They shall go to Jerusalem and acknowledge him as the Lord of hosts. And as the book, as the Bible, this author closes, he says, I, Jesus. Seven times in the book of the Acts we have that title, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus of Nazareth. Not that we have any right to claim to speak to him as such, using such titles. He's not ashamed to call us brethren. But that's a totally different matter to us. Try to do that. If anybody could have done it, his own brothers according to the flesh, James and Jude could have done it. For they call themselves the slaves, the bond slaves of the Lord of glory. There is but one God, one mediator between God and man. Christ Jesus, himself, man. Here's the answer to Job's problem. Here's the answer. eternally. God is not forgiving his pastor of the rules of the eternal. Here is one who can be active with these 19 of Dionysus. The mediator between God and man.